Spotlight. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. I'm Deeksha Saxena, and today we will be discussing about major achievements in India's fight against malnutrition in last 11 years. We have with us Dr. Ananya Awasthi, nutrition expert. Dr. Awasthi, welcome to Akashvani News.
Thank you so much. Thank you to Akashvani.
India has made a steady progress in combating malnutrition in the last 11 years. Schemes implemented by the government played a huge role in reducing the burden of malnutrition. Union Minister of Home Affairs and Cooperation, Amit Shah, inaugurated NDDB Foundation for Nutrition's CSR Conclave in New Delhi today. So, Dr. Awasthi, malnutrition has various components to it like wasting, stunting and underweight. And to get into the discussion, could you briefly explain each one of this to us?
Right. So when we say malnutrition, we should look at the full picture. Malnutrition runs across a spectrum. One end of the spectrum is undernutrition, wherein the height or the weight of the child is not increasing as per their age. And that could be because of a deficit in calories. That could be because he's not getting food that has enough energy. And this has been a big problem in this country. That's one. And this is what you call stunting, wasting. These are all different combinations of height and weight not matching up to the ideal standards. Then on the other end of the spectrum is when you have too much energy, which you're consuming, which are called like empty calories, which your body actually doesn't really need. So we see, you know, urbanization happening, and especially with the younger population, physical activity has reduced. Probably, you know, they're just eating a lot of junk foods, lot of screen time, empty calories, that processed food, coupled with less physical activity. And in the middle of the spectrum are micronutrient deficiencies. This is called hidden hunger. So while at the external look of it, the person might look healthy, but they may be lacking an important micronutrient like, say, iron and folic acid. Why I mention this is because anemia is a very, very big problem in the country.
Taking a cue from what you just mentioned, and you spoke about anemia, and anemia is actually a very big problem, not just in children, but also in adult women and adolescent girls. So what are the ways to tackle anemia, and what is the food which should be consumed to stay safe from anemia?
Right. So when we say anemia, we should understand that every household, and especially if you have a pregnant woman in your house, if you have a young growing child, if you have an adolescent boy or a girl, you should definitely check for any initial symptoms. Symptoms for anemia are what? They're like you're having difficulty in walking, taking stairs, you're having breathlessness, unexplained fatigue, unexplained headaches, paleness of fingers, kehte yellow ho gaya. So those kind of early symptoms can signal that probably you have anemia, and there are different causes of anemia. So the first thing to do is either you have symptoms, or if you are in such a life cycle, you're getting pregnant or you're planning to conceive, those mothers, or you have a young child, in that case, definitely see for signs and consider getting your blood tested for hemoglobin levels. And go to your nearest medical provider, go to your nearest primary health center, and there are also free government checkups for the same. And they can really guide you on whether or not the hemoglobin standards are really meeting the WHO standards. Because if you're below a particular hemoglobin standard, then you are likely to be anemic. And it's a very important problem to solve. There are various ways to address it. One thing is, of course, if you're really anemic, acutely anemic, pregnant, you may be put on iron and folic acids. Government, most of the health ministry programs provide free iron and folic tablets for consumption. Secondly, even rice fortification that has happened in India has been fortified to address anemia. Because rice is something the majority of the population consumes from PDS. So that is again an upstream big scale strategy. Besides that, what is most important to understand is that as a population, so we really have to denormalize very low hemoglobin levels, because, you know, especially say for example in growing children, it can affect their IQ levels, their cognition. If you're pregnant and you're anemic, then you can pass on that anemia to your child. And if you're anemic, then you're more likely to give birth to a low birth weight child. The child itself can have anemia when they grow up. If you're medically advised, take supplements. If it's very, very acute and you're pregnant, probably injectables is another area which is being researched. But the most basic is, what do you really eat? So we have to learn to eat iron and folic acid rich foods. So your green leafy vegetables, all your animal sourced foods are high in iron and folic acid. And along with that, we have to understand that what are some of the inhibitors and promoters of iron absorption. So not very many people know that regular consumption of tea actually inhibits iron absorption. So suppose you're taking iron folic acid tablet, please do not take it with your cup of tea, because that's an inhibitor. Add a slice of lemon in your water, have guavas, amlas. So a lot of these vitamin C rich fruits actually promote iron absorption. And then finally, how do you cook your food? So typical, again, you know what our grandmothers, dadi, nanis used to say, iron cooking vessels are actually a proven mechanism for increasing iron that is there in your food. Iron fish you use while cooking. So these are all various methods by which you can naturally improve the uptake of iron and folic acid in your food.
Poshan Abhiyan was launched by Prime Minister in 2018 and it was aimed at eradicating malnutrition in India. The Poshan Abhiyan 2.0 primarily focuses on nutritional status of adolescent girls, pregnant women, lactating mothers and children up to the age of 6. So I would like to understand from you, how has Poshan Abhiyan 2.0 been more effective in its approach to improve nutritional outcomes?
See, the biggest impact of Poshan Abhiyan and Poshan 2.0 has been that it has helped mainstream the agenda of nutrition in this country. Today, you and I are sitting and talking about nutrition, because of course, nutrition is part of health. But when we talk about health, somewhere or the other, the cause for nutrition, I mean, it's all interconnected, but still, nutrition, diets, young child feeding practices, healthy foods, this all sort of gets derailed. So I think a big outcome for Poshan Abhiyan, which was launched in 2018 by the Prime Minister, and then Poshan 2.0, which is essentially a merger of erstwhile Poshan Abhiyan as well as the Anganwadi services. That is what we call Poshan 2.0. The second main outcome an impact that we should understand when we talk about Poshan is that under the Poshan scheme, how many of us really know and appreciate that almost 14 lakh Anganwadis function across this country every day. Each day, these Anganwadi centers, which are housed by Anganwadi workers, provide basic Anganwadi services to every child up to the age of 6 years, 0 to 6, pregnant women, lactating women, and even adolescent girls if you happen to be in the aspirational districts or the northeast states. And what kind of services are these Anganwadis providing under the Poshan scheme? It's things like provision of take-home ration, which is different from food ration, different from PDS, but take-home ration and hot-cooked meal, which is provided under the supplementary nutrition program, which is basically micronutrient-dense and nutritionally enhanced ration specifically designed for mother and children because they needed the most. Second service they provide is they undertake growth monitoring of children. So as part of the Poshan scheme, government has also launched Poshan Tracker, which is the largest in the world real-time data monitoring tool, which monitors these Anganwadi centers. And given we are talking about growth monitoring, almost 7 to 8 crore children are measured every month at different Anganwadi centers across the country, and that data is fed into Poshan Tracker so that a real-time update of the nutritional status of the children may be done and decisions may be made by the state departments, district administration and the Central Union Ministry for Women and Child to improve the nutritional status. So besides take-home ration, there's growth monitoring, as I mentioned in detail, and then there are home visits and nutrition counseling that these Anganwadi workers do, that if you're pregnant, what to eat, how should your diet be when you're pregnant. If you're a young mother and your child is 0 to 6 months of age, why is breastfeeding so important? Then after 6 months of age, what to feed a child who's 6 months to 2 years of age? Why is that important? That comes under complementary feeding. Anemia. So there are so many things around nutrition that the Anganwadi worker through the Anganwadi centers counsels women on. In addition to that, there are a lot of community-based activities also that happen under the Poshan scheme. Things like Anna Prashan Divas, God Bharai Divas, Jan Andolan, twice in a year.
I would also like to understand from you, another very important scheme is PMGKAY, which is Pradhan Mantri Garib Kalyan Ann Yojana. Initially, it was launched in March 2020 as a response to COVID-19 pandemic, and the scheme is a major food security initiative by the Government of India. How has this scheme acted as a safety net?
So the Garib Kalyan Yojanas was a very, very commendable step taken by the government at a time when everything had come to a standstill during the lockdown. And at that time, government almost universalized free provision of food grains through the public distribution system, which we call as PDS shops or ration shops, was universalized to 800 million people. You're almost covering everybody who needs free food ration. And that has played a big role in ensuring A, food security, that nobody is really dying of hunger. If you need food, if you need a basic amount of ration, government ensured that it was transparently provided at your doorsteps. And there was no disparity between urban or rural. This system had seeped into every village, and everybody who had a ration card or so had access to this. The second big achievement of the food ration scheme has been that when we think about food ration, like for a relatively poorer household, a majority portion of their expenses usually food, right? Maybe not for very privileged households, but at lower income households, when you look at how much money they are spending in a month, a large proportion goes on expenditure on food. And so such food security schemes also help those households who are at the margin, those households who are sort of above the poverty line, but really at the edge, to prevent them from falling into the poverty trap. Because if government ensures that they're getting regular supply of food grains, then you know you are saving up that extra money for that household, and it prevents them from going into the poverty trap, which you know can lead it up to so many other things, from health issues to infections to homelessness. So there are a lot of things. So when we talk about food rations, it has to be seen both from the perspective of food security as well as a security, a social security net which can prevent poverty. And then of course the third aspect is a step further, that if the nation is food secure and has social safety net, then should we be talking about nutrition security? So when we talk about nutrition security, then we talk about take-home rations, which fall under the portion scheme because it is more specific for women and children.
Lastly, since we are progressing towards the end of this discussion, I would like to talk to you about the obesity. And we spoke about it in the beginning of the program. So obesity is a problem which the government has taken note of and is trying to spread awareness regarding it. So could you also explain what obesity is and how to deal with it? And what role does junk food play in enhancing obesity, and how can we control it if we control the junk food consumption?
What you eat, what you put on your plate plays a big role in terms of the health and nutritional outcomes that you have. Now, talking about junk foods, there's a word called HFSS foods, foods high in fat, sugar and salt. This is what we call junk foods. Junk foods mean they are very energy dense. They may have a lot of calories, a lot of oil, but they don't have any micronutrients. They do not really have the nutrition that your body needs. Excessive consumption of these junk foods, coupled with very minimum physical activity, coupled with stress and screen exposure and so many other things, leads to a behavior where, you know, you're literally eating a lot of carbohydrates, potato and oil and fried foods, not actually doing enough physical activity to burn those calories. And then even if you were to burn those calories, you're not having food which has the right vitamins and the minerals and the micronutrients. And so you end up in a situation where this is a big emerging problem in India. Children are becoming obese, diabetes, a hypertension. It has been shown that up to the age of almost 5 to 6 years, if you're feeding too much sugar or salt to your child, studies are showing that such children are more likely to develop diabetes and hypertension in their adult life. So this really needs to be addressed. Eat Right campaign from FSSAI, education department's also been promoting this. Poshan Abhiyan, of course, talks about healthy eating. Then this entire movement around millets. Now with the Prime Minister talking about it in Mann Ki Baat about childhood obesity. Now oil and sugar boards have been institutionalized in schools. Which literally tell you that if you were to have that one samosa or that one chocolate, how many calories will that mean, or how much oil are you really consuming, to spread awareness amongst children, because behavioral patterns are set early on. So if you set the behavior right first and eat right first, that will go a long way in ensuring that you have lead a healthy and, you know, a poshit life.
Listeners, you can listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. Dr. Awasthi, thank you so much for sparing your valuable time and joining us in the studios of Akashwani to talk about this very important subject. Thank you for joining us for today's Spotlight.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
Spotlight.